I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just had a couple people come up with donations here as we kick off the Fan 5 Alarm Marathons later in the week at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. Starts Thursday officially, but we're already taking donations today. Bob and I out at the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, and we got the big boot up here on the table. That last guy just ran up, made his donation, and ran back to his car.
Yeah, he's a member of Diamond Run. He asked us if we're playing golf. You know, a very generous call, gentleman, yes.
Well, he really was. And a lot of people will be in if it's anything like last year's event out here today. Dan Zangrilli has joined us. And on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Mr. Russ Grimm in town for the Joe Moore O-line camp. Of course, the late, great Joe Moore coached at many places, notably Pitt, from 1977 to 85, where he coached men such as Bill Frelick, Mark May, Jimbo Covert, and the guy on the line, Russ Grimm. Russ, how are you, sir? You're on with Bob Pompeiani and Joe Starkey.
How you doing, guys?
Good. We're doing great. We're doing great.
I mean, I'm always amazed at Russ's career. I mean, as you know, you think about the player, the Hall of Fame player, position versatility kind of guy, and then 26 years into coaching. So, but you come back every year, and I think this is amazing here, Russ, that these guys over the years were so inspired by Joe Moore that you make it a point to make sure you come back and continue this tradition. How important is that for you?
It's very important. I mean, not only, you know, we have two goals for him. Number one, we say we're going to make him a better player, and number two, we say we're also going to make you a better person. So, I mean, a lot of the guys that come back in, these guys come back in on their own. They don't get paid. We get them a nice.
Russ, sorry to interrupt. I think we have a problem with the phone limits. If you could figure that one out with the clicking.
I'm going to try to reconnect them.
Bob, what a career. And Russ, I was just going to ask him about the Whitfield Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's going in Friday night. He already has a field named after him. Why don't you have a field named after you yet?
I haven't done anything to deserve that. He's had a remarkable career. South Moreland High School, I think, where he grew up.
And that's where the field is named after him, right? So, Russ Grimm Field.
Yeah, I always wonder what order this happens. You know, like some of these guys are now up for College Football Hall of Fame, like Alan Faneca, but he's also already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how does that work?
Why does it work backwards? And then, you know, Russ is all this stuff, and the field should be like, that's one of those things that should have happened earlier, I think, in the process. But it's better late than never.
You should have a golf course named after you, or at least a bar, Pomp's Bar and Grill.
Hey, Pomp's Place. I was thinking about
Pomp's
that.
Place.
Pomp's Place. We're going to have a fun time. Come on down. I hope I'm one of those bars that people line up around the block and, you know, do away with the competition on the other side.
Well, you already have you and Ron, are your faces still on a cup out at the Brighton Hot Dog Shop?
Yeah. We are on both sides of it. So,
are you honored by that?
Yeah, I was very honored. I mean, they a lot of people came in and got those things. Mostly because of Ron, I'm sure, not me, but it doesn't matter. It's Beaver County pride, man.
Limits, how are we doing back there in the home office?
I think we're good. We connected Russ on a different line, and so far, so good. So he's back.
You never notified me that he was back.
That's because
we were just
you timed it perfectly, Joe. Because when you asked, it was when we connected.
Russ, how are you?
Yes, I'm good. How's it going, guys?
We're going good. We interrupted you there in the middle of talking about kind of what this camp means and you coming back for it.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, the biggest reason is, you know, not only to keep Joe's name alive, but the guys that played with him, they come in on their own. I mean, we give them two nights in a hotel and a couple meals, and I mean, it's a good get-together for us, but it's also to give back to the local kids. And we've had kids come from Maryland, Florida, everywhere else to the camp. So we have a good time doing it.
Well, a big honor for you, I believe, is coming this Friday night. You're headed into the Whitfield Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you, Russ? And what stands out about your high school career at South Moreland?
Well, I mean, that brings it back. My senior year, we only won 3 games. But, you know, I remember we had like 27, 28 guys on the football team. I probably can run off 26 names. I mean, you remember them guys. The thing you miss from football is the camaraderie part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we weren't that great. But, like I said, I was a quarterback with a full cage and a neck roll because I played middle linebacker on defense.
Quarterback?
But, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Yes, also punted.
Did they let you throw, or what? How did that work?
Well, I didn't throw a lot, maybe 3-4 times a game at the most. But, no, most of the time we just ran it.
That is tremendous.
I wouldn't want to tackle him, though. I can tell you that.
No, it also says here you played.
I was a lot smaller back then. I think I was 210 my senior year.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I went to Pitt as a linebacker my first 2 years.
And then what?
Then after the sophomore year, I was playing on some special teams, and Jackie Sherrill called me in to his office. I thought I was in trouble for skipping class or something, but he says, look, he says, we had a lot of guys graduate, Tom Brazosa, Matt Carroll, a bunch of guys graduated on offensive line. He says, we think you can move over and put on the weight and play center. At the time, I was like 240. And I'm thinking, I says, Coach, I said, I've never been in a three-point stance. I says, I think I'll just stay at linebacker. He looks up at me and he says, I'm not asking.
And he must have known what he was talking about because you're a Hall of Famer and played all these different positions.
Well, it worked out well. I mean, but when I first moved, we had a big nose tackle, Dave Logan, that played in the league at Tampa Bay for a while. I mean, spring ball, I was still like 245, 250. He was tossing me around like a rag doll. So I came back in the fall at 270. And then that was my junior year and wanted a starting job. And it kind of took off from there.
Well, it says here go ahead.
Joe Moore was a big part of that. He told me one time, he says, when I first went in, he said, there's no greater feeling than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. And I thought about it for a while, and I said, you know what? I tried it. I liked it. So I played offensive line.
Well, it says you played basketball here, too, in high school. And I know you weren't up to 280 or whatever yet. But still, what kind of basketball player were you? I remember going against Greg Gattuso many years later in a 3-on-3, and I couldn't move him. I can't imagine running into you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing with basketball is, you know, you just got to get up and down the court and you got to get position inside and box people out. So, I mean, I was pretty decent at basketball.
How about track and field? What was your event?
Track and field, I threw the weights. Shot, the discus, and the javelin.
Did that help you in moving people from point A to point B?
Well, I mean, it still kept me lifting. So, I mean, you really couldn't lift during basketball season because it messes up your touch. I didn't have much touch, but yeah. So, no, you know, he's still lifting weights in the spring, so I went up and started throwing it. Ended up going to, I think I got 5th in the States in the shot put. But
What's the biggest thing when you come back to these camps, Russ, that you see from the kids, things they need, things you tell them? Because things have changed over the years, too. I mean, we're talking about big, you know, some of these high school kids eventually get to be weights that we haven't seen, especially back from your day. So what is your motivational talk to these kids that you have to deal with?
Well, I mean, not so much. You know, the talks we give them is about, you know, stay away from the drugs. Be careful with social media because everybody has cell phones now. I mean, make sure you do good in class. Respect your parents. Treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean, that's the greatest thing about Western PA. I always said, when I come back, I said, the people here are great. So, but, yeah, and then, you know, you're working with the feet and hands and stuff like that, but, you know, for the football part. But the biggest thing is, you know, make sure you've got your P's and Q's. I'm going to get you all your I's and T's dotted. So.
Russ Grimm on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. He will be inducted into the Whitfield Hall of Fame Friday night. He's also in town for the Joe Moore O-line camp, which brings together all kinds of notable linemen from history. It must be an incredible camp. Here's what I want to ask you, Russ, and I don't know if I've asked you this before. I grew up in Buffalo. One of my horrible memories is you and the Hogs steamrolling the Bills. And the famous story from that week was the Bills' defensive line coach, Chuck Dickerson, took a shot at the Hogs going into that game. He was making fun of you guys, and apparently you took it personally. Is that what happened? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Coach Gibbs played it the night before the game. He showed the little video to the in the offensive line room, and then he ended up showing it to the whole team, and he said, this is what we got to deal with. And it kind of, yeah, it irritated everybody.
And that guy got fired?
He got fired right after that.
He got fired for doing that?
Marv Levy was not pleased. Yeah, he got fired right after that.
See, you fired a guy based on your performance. That's another great accomplishment you put out there.
I think there was a lot of people that maybe lost jobs because of the performances we had. But, yeah, we tried to make sure Joe Gibbs kept his job.
That brings up another topic, Russ, is that it's often said – you know, if you want to win Super Bowls as a coach in the NFL, you better have like a, you know, a great, great superstar quarterback. The quarterbacks in Washington were good, but I think Joe Gibbs really sets himself apart in NFL history by winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, none of whom made it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do you agree? Right. And what would you say about Joe Gibbs?
Joe was good at putting together the right people. I mean, I've seen him. I mean, we drafted one kid in the first round, a running back or receiver or something. We ended up cutting him, like, the very next year. I mean, Joe wouldn't put up with anything. I mean, he was like, he would, if we drafted a guy that ran 4.5, he had to run 4.5 every time. It's not just you can't run it one time. And the thing is, we want it with three different quarterbacks, three different running backs, and three different sets of wide receivers. So, I mean, it was a mixed-up group, but the main thing that kept together was the offensive line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many of them have nicknames like the Hogs? I mean, that's you earn that. That becomes – it's only the result of tremendous play by all of you guys at the same time, which obviously made it much easier for the quarterback.
Well, like Mark Rypien, who's a great quarterback. Great
golfer, by the way, too. He can hit the ball. I've played with him.
Yeah,
I've seen
it
firsthand.
I just was down at – playing in his tournament down in Queensboro, Maryland. He does a fundraiser down there. But Rip, the one year we won a Super Bowl against Buffalo, I think he was only sacked 9 times all year.
Wow. Well, that brings up the Steelers, too, because they've put a lot of investment into this offensive line. They're going to have a first-round pick at both tackles, a high-round pick at center, a big free agent from a year ago or whenever it was in Seumalo. And that really can be – that you guys were proof that an offensive line can really be the backbone of a team. I know you're biased in this, Russ, but I think that's true. And you guys were proof, right?
Yes. And I know Arthur Smith. I coached with Art at Tennessee. And, I mean, he knows what he's – and he likes to run the ball. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you'd like to have some seasoned vets. But, like, when we got the nickname Hogs, we had, like, four rookies starting up front. Myself, Jacoby, Jeff Bostic, Mark Mack. So, I mean, young people can play. I mean, you just got to get the right type of guys.
How important is it to have, like we saw last year, Broderick Jones here play the right tackle. Now his natural position is left tackle. I know you made, you were at center, guard, tackle even. Am I right in thinking that? I remember you at times at tackle. How important is it to have that ability to do it? You know, on offensive line?
Well, you have to be able to do it because normally offensive line, especially at the professional level, you can only activate, you only have like 7, possibly 8 players at the position.
Right.
So I know most of the time when I was coaching, it was 7. So obviously your backups had to play, like you had a backup guard, but he could play center. You had a backup tackle, but he could slide into guard. You had guards that could move out to tackle. You had to have those versatile people to be able to move around in case of an injury because it's not like, you know, all of a sudden, hey, we need another center. Oh, we don't have one. It's not active. Somebody has to snap it.
Russ Grimm, appreciate the time. Before I let you go, Russ, I wanted to ask you, your sons have had some interesting careers in football as well. What are they up to these days?
No, I got two kids living in Northern Virginia. The other two, the two older boys are in, Cody's in Tampa Bay, Chad's in Jacksonville. Cody is not coaching this year. He's still looking to get back in. I don't know what he's going to do. He's enjoying hunting and fishing right now, so he's still living off the other paychecks. So, but yeah, he got a Super Bowl ring with Tampa when Tom Brady was there, so he was all excited about that, and then he went to Jacksonville. Chad, the older one, he coached it with me at Arizona and then coached with me at San Diego, and then he was back in Washington for a while, but he's out of it now. He's in the real estate business, so.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, speaking of hunting and fishing, Bob Walk, a former Pirate pitcher, joined us on Friday and, in fact, just walked up here, no pun intended, Russ, and he had a turkey call. See if you can recognize this turkey call. I guess among you hunters, this is well known. Limits, can you play Russ Bob's turkey call? What do you think, Russ? Pretty good?
That sounds like a sick turkey.
Thank you, Russ.
Russ, always a pleasure.
Congratulations.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
All right. Can you imagine him as a high school quarterback?
No, no, I can't. But he said they only back then. You remember those days? Quarterbacks never threw the ball. You threw
with a neck roll.
With a neck roll. So, but then things have changed, and now people are out there throwing. You got slingers all over the place. So. It's always good to hit catch up with Russ Grimm. I'm glad he's going. It's a long overdue, but I'm sure those classes are every year. It's a competitive situation getting the WPIA Hall of Fame.
And we're going to get plenty more guests from the Joe Moore camp this week. That happens every year with our friend Joey over there. So Bob Walk has entered the premises. This is incredible, Bob. So has Dan Zangrilli. Would we hurt Dan's feelings if we went to Bob first coming up?
I don't think Dan would mind that,
okay.
Do you?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Bob Walk, hopefully, will say yes and join us next year. We're Allegiant Federal Credit Union here, and you can stop by. The official name, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, and help us kick off here the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. That's officially Thursday at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. But people have been walking up helping us fill the boot. You just walk up to our table, say hello to Bob. And help us fill that boot, right, Bob?
You're right, and people have been generous to do it. We want to see more people out here. Again, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union has been a big part of this, and they're supporting this five-alarm fire. And, again, the bottom line is trying to help people who have given up their time as volunteers mostly to go out and put their lives at risk trying to help others save theirs. So that's what we're doing this for, and hopefully you'll be able to step up and, come down and fill the boot.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that's going to be the call for Bob Walk from now on. One of the greatest calls we've ever seen on this show. Bob Walk, we're over at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Bob doesn't live too far from here. He was on a shopping trip and decided to stop by just like he did last year. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Can't stay too long. Like I said, I got milk in the in the truck, but
it's
by the way,
day.
This will surprise you. I did not get a turkey. I don't know why, but
really,
with a call like that, I think it should have been all over.
Russ Grimm called it a sick turkey call, but you know.
That's what I was looking for, ones that were easy to catch. You know, you try to thin the herd. You know, you go after the sick ones.
Did you come close?
No, we didn't.
Did you see any?
Hear or see anything? I think it was my son, who's the turkey hunter of the family, he took me to a place where he's always had good luck and gotten turkeys. But it's always like the very first week of turkey season, right? You know, the very first week of the month of May. And this is like the last 2 days of May. And I think they were all done doing what they like to do and were gone. So.
Yeah, maybe they caught on to what was happening and cleared it out.
Yeah, try it next May at the beginning
of
the month.
Well, obviously, if there would have been a turkey around and he heard that, he would have been there.
We are kicking off the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon. We got the boot right up here on the table. You could step right up, say hello to everybody here, and contribute. As Bob just did. Very, very nicely, Bob did. All right, Bob. Let's start with Friday night's game and the idea of challenging calls, the idea of robot umps, and everything that happened with that last call on Henry Davis. What did you think?
Well, it was definitely a ball. I mean, if you're going by the that was out of the strike zone. If it would have been spring training, he'd have tapped his helmet. It would have been switched and ball four. So, yeah, since they have that technology and they've already proven that how they can use it and how it doesn't really affect the game in a negative way. The challenge system they have for, out and safe kind of gets me going a little bit sometimes when we're sitting around and waiting and waiting and waiting. But this is, at least in spring training, was extremely quick. It's boom, boom. Now, if it was me to make the decision, I would just say, put the same ear thing that the pitcher and catcher have in the umpire's ear and let the computer either say ball or strike.
So you want it for all pitches?
Oh yeah, why not? If you're going to do it, why even have the challenge thing? But if they want the challenge thing, if they think that that's better for whatever reason, I know that there's an argument for it, argument that I don't agree with, but go for that. But it's there, and now we can quit arguing about whether that was a ball or that was a strike. Now some people say, well, it's not exactly perfectly accurate. It's like maybe like 1% off. It's like I think somebody said sometimes it can be as much as a half an inch off. And I said, well, if you know that, then whatever system you have that told you that, then let us use that one then. That doesn't make any sense to me. How do they know it's a half inch off? What system's telling them it was a half inch off?
So that's a good point.
Yeah, so let's use that. I don't buy into that argument for that reason.
But mostly, if they're going to do it, they'll probably integrate the challenge system first before they go full bore here, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, well, they've used it both ways in the minor leagues.
So you can see them next year maybe deciding after all of these calls, because it wasn't just that call. That was egregious. But
we'll watch a game tonight anywhere you want. Yeah. Pirates aren't playing tonight. Watch anything. You'll see missed calls. But there's always been missed calls in the game, but now we put the box up there and show everybody, look at this.
Do you like the box? Or do you think it should just be the way it was before and it's, because some of those calls are very close. They're right on the edge.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm the old way. I wish we were still National League, American League. I like a lot of things that were going on in the 60s and 70s in baseball that I loved, and we can't even sniff that anymore. I'd like to see a shortstop put on his backside occasionally when there's a double play being turned. There's a lot of stuff that we can get into a big discussion about that takes hours. And I am for like turning the clock back a long ways. But what I want is never going to happen. So reality is it is what it is. And the box is there. Everybody sees it every night. So let's call what the box says it is.
When you pitched, did you know on a given night by who the umpire was?
Oh, sure.
How it was going to go?
I'd rather know that than who we were playing. Okay, that would tell me whoever you're around a little bit, and you're playing just National League teams. You have just National League umpires. The league is only two divisions. There's not that many teams. You're seeing the same guys over and over again. You learn the plate umpires as well as you learn the hitters. And that was a big deal to me. I knew, if the night was going to be easy or hard or, if I had to wait a little bit, make sure you don't ever react to a call you don't like and wait for a hitter to react, because then the hitters are going to get in trouble, we'll say, all night long. There were things that you would do depending on who the umpire was and how they like to call the balls and strikes.
You ever get thrown out on balls and strikes argument?
On balls and strikes, no. I've gotten thrown out probably three or four times, but never on balls and strikes.
What would it be? What would it be that triggered you?
Usually throwing at people. Well, I would get thrown out for. I think I got thrown out for getting a balk called on me at second base. I didn't get called out for the. I got called out because I punted my glove about 40 feet into the air in the middle of diamond, and then the umpire was he was saying no Bob no 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 no, and then I went ahead and did it, and then he goes, yeah, you're gone.
How hard could you throw a baseball right now if I gave you a couple weeks to ramp up?
My shoulder is all ripped up. I messed it up this spring, or actually kind of in February. I couldn't throw a ball from here to that white car out there right now. Mm. Before that, I could probably throw the ball, I don't know, 75 miles an hour maybe if I played some catch and got ready.
We have an interesting – the caller earlier today, and Joe and I thought this was an interesting thing. Not that it would ever happen, but it's for fodder, right? Uh-huh. So the Boston Red Sox need some pitching. The Pittsburgh Pirates need some hitting. The number one overall prospect is Roman Anthony. He's a hitter. He's like this high school kid who's, what is he now, 20 years old, whatever.
21.
He's
21. Yeah, 21.
And the Pirates have Bubba Chandler, who's the number one rated. Hypothetically, would you make that deal if it was one for one, knowing that each team needs something that the other team has?
I would, give it some consideration. I mean, I don't know the scouting reports and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I would consider any trade.
Sure.
But I would want to know the minute details before signing off on something like that. But, I'm sure that's something that the Pirates are going to have to really consider, not only this year at the trading deadline, but going into next mm-hmm. season, how they can use what is kind of a surplus. It's not as big as a surplus.
Never have
as
enough
some people
pitchers.
Think.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But, I can see them make – they did this year with Ortiz. You
right.
know, they traded him. They'll probably do something along those lines and get somebody back. I heard you guys talking on the radio as I was going to the store about you're wanting somebody that's more of a proven mm-hmm. guy than necessarily just somebody from, like, some team's double-A team or something
right.
like that.
Right.
I think that they would probably – if they're wanting to win, yeah, that's what you have to do. If you're a blow-it-up-and-rebuild-it thing, well, then, you go for the lower-level guys. You can get more of them.
It
depends on what your goal is, for the rest of this year and next season of what kind of trade you're really looking for.
Bob Walk joining us for just a couple of minutes here. Don't want the milk.
The milk, milk is getting
okay.
spoiled.
I kind of put a big blanket over it in the back, so I think it's also
that's also old school.
It's insulated a little bit.
I do that too.
It's insulated a little bit.
Listen to this quote, Bob. And this is, we know Henry Davis. He's been playing a lot lately, mm-hmm. but he catches Skeens personally, really.
Yeah,
this
for
was
a while now. Yeah,
yeah. This was Kevin Gorman of the Trib interviewing Davis about Bubba Chandler. Davis says, I've seen a lot of good fastballs. He's got the best fastball I've ever seen. That's from Skeens' guy. He says he's throwing it over 100. The analytics are phenomenal. He just kind of lulls you into it. Then it's lightning quick arm. If it's possible for 100 to play up, it does, says Davis. I could see Bubba having success in the big leagues throwing 70% fastballs. What do you make of that, Bob?
For one thing, I throwing 70% fastball doesn't bother me at all. I think a lot of pitchers, way too many, get carried away with throwing too many different pitches. I got seven pitches. Oh, who cares? like you're going to use two or three of them every day. The fastball is – look at
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Falter, for instance. I mean, he when he's really good, when he's got his, some of his best games, is when he's throwing 70% fastballs. And he throws, what, 92, 93?
Yeah.
He's not even a hard thrower.
Locate it.
Yeah, yeah. So I have no problem with guys throw a ton of fastballs. If it's a good fastball and they have excellent command of it,
yeah,
then you can destroy a guy's timing with just, you know, in, out, up and down. At, you know, in your, if you're sitting from 98 to 101, which is probably where this guy sits,
yep, he does.
Then, you know, whatever you got, you don't really have to do a lot of other things. And if you throw a lot of fastballs and it's really good, like the type of fastball I was just talking about, you don't have to get swings and misses on it. You can get some lazy pop flies, right, and some stuff like that, and maybe get out of an inning where you only threw seven pitches.
Yeah.
Hallelujah nowadays, because now you might be able to get an extra.
That's,
you
know, right.
You might be able to go seven
manager
instead of six.
Say.
Yeah, so.
Pitch count.
So I'm keep things on the simple side, and if it's working, if it's not broke, then don't fix it.
Bob, I have another question for all of us.
All right.
Limits, I'd like you to weigh in here as well, although none of us have experienced this like Bob. All right, the Colorado Rockies are 9-50. 9-50. They're 3-28 on the road. They're off to the worst start in baseball history. So a question was posed. I think this is The Athletic. Would a good Triple A team, if they came to the majors, be able to go 9-50? And if not a good Triple A team, would a Triple A All-Star team be able to play in the majors? Like, if you took all the best players from Triple A right now and you gave them 59 games in the majors, could they outdo the Rockies?
An All-Star team, you know, like with a bunch of Bubba Chandlers and stuff? Yes,
yeah.
I would say for sure. Your run-of-the-mill Triple A team? Probably
your best Triple A team.
Yeah.
Will they win a couple?
Oh, they would win, yeah. But I mean, would they be way better than the Rockies? You know, probably not. But an All-Star team? Yeah, I would go for those guys, because they're going to have a real strong starting rotation. You take the five best starters, yeah, in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, right away, you're probably not going to be scoring a whole lot of runs against these guys. Yeah, so I would say the All-Star game, no doubt, but your average, no, there's too many 4A players on that team.
What do you do?
Because, you know, here's the thing that everybody doesn't realize with the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Each team has two or three guys that the parent teams thinks can help maybe make the big leagues down there.
Yeah.
Everybody else down there, is the only reason they're there is so that the prospects have somebody to play with.
Right. That's why they've got to fill out a roster,
yeah,
too.
That's all they're there for. Now, and they don't realize who they are, you know, but the parent team does.
Right.
And every now and then somebody will pitch or hit their way out of that pigeonhole, but it doesn't happen very often.
What do you do if you're the manager of a 9-50 team? Your name's always brought up to be a manager. I was one of those things that he'd be a great manager. But what would you do if you're 9-50? I mean, how do you?
Well, if you're a young manager, then, you know, you just try and get better. If you're, you know, one of the older guys and it's 9-50 and – and it depends on a lot of other stuff that's going on, but as far as trying to get that team to be better,
just develop.
You're probably not going to do it. Now, you know, like Donnie Kelly, for instance. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been around him since he's got the job. He is so full of energy. He's so positive. I mean, it's awesome. And yeah, I think I said Friday. He said like a. What are you gonna? You're gonna ask him? You know, what's gonna ask him? Yeah, I'm gonna say, what are you doing? I mean, because it's kind of the same players that were here before, but
yeah,
there's a different vibe, mm-hmm, or something going on. I think with young, you know, just starting out managers, you got a chance to capture that. You know, older guys that have been around a long time, they're gonna look at a situation and say, this is a mess.
Yeah.
I'll say.
By the way, it's interesting.
I can't believe that.
The funny, how bad this is. They have had three wins in the month, the last month. Scottie, yeah, Scheffler on the PGA Tour has won three events at the same time that Rockies have won three games.
No, he could probably beat them. You're talking about that. Yeah.
Able to. Bob, we appreciate you stopping by. We really do.
Yeah.
That was nice of you to contribute to the boot and to stop by and contribute to the show. Thank you, sir.
It's my pleasure. No problem at all. Like I said, I just up the road and I was driving. Well, I actually heard you guys on the radio. And so then I'm like, oh, yeah, I think they're at the bank today. So then I was coming up the, the street here and looked over in there.
There you are. You saw the boot from there.
Yeah. Is Zangrilli still here? Is he on the premises?
I saw him when I walked up. I don't know where he went.
Thank you, sir. Here's another gentleman just came in and put that in the boot. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, let's try to find Zangrilli. We'll try Zangrilli if we can find him, and we'll get him on the air here. Thanks to Bob Walk. We really appreciate that, Bob.
No problems at all.
We'll be talking soon. Stick around for lunch.
If I see Dan, I'll send him over.
Yeah, send him over.
As I'm walking to the car. Is he behind me?
The fan and the Pirates.
Oh, yeah. He's over there.
He's getting some sun back there.
He's sunning out there?
I think so, yeah.
Really? Or is he kibitzing with the people around here?
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.